Watson Hall presents.
You're go for APU shutdown on time.
You're go for deploy.
300 AD, I am.
Recommend a vector transfer to the BFS.
Roger the problem.
So, last week, as you recall...
As you recall, we descended to the surface of, Pentagon 12, whatever we're calling it.
Pentagon 12?
I don't know. The planet with the Pentagon ruins on it.
Yeah, but it's got psychic plants. Should we not draw attention to them?
For a bit of calibration, you are in the Hyades. There are signs of something bloody weird going on a cosmological basis, but not the same sort of weird that you found in the Pleiades. It looks as if a star may have exploded.
Sort of.
Yes, I remember that bit.
Whatever we're calling this world. Yeah.
You've found ruins which distinctly looked sentient made. What were the regular pentagonal pattern? This turned out to be more or less their equivalent of tarmac.
Well, they're largely made of some kind of metal, the structures were. We observed and investigated these skittering noises, which turned out to belong to six-legged, low-slung critters that are essentially scorpioid.
Scorpioid?
Shim did the joke in his write-up, but we didn't do a pincer movement gag when we were caught between two batches of scorpioid creatures.
We were asked to retrieve a specimen, which turned out, we weren't actively trying to retrieve a specimen, but we got a call from the lander saying, these things are digging up under our feet. This is potentially going to cause stability issues. We went to investigate. Jethro shot one of them in the head, prompting all the others anywhere nearby to notice we were there and possibly sources of protein and descend upon us in a ravening horde queue. Desperate battle, underslung grenade launcher.
Jethro, the man in the powered battle armor.
Yeah,
less
casually.
Companions.
Yeah, although he nearly... His battle armor got slightly damaged.
Mine.
And you got almost cut in half.
I got scratches on my armour, I'll have you know.
Do you know how expensive it is to refinish those to mil-spec? Sorry, go on.
Tragic. All that buffing. It's a lot of buffing. You got to do it by hand. You know, the robot just doesn't
look the same. Normally give it to otherwise. The least competent private, but you don't have them here.
No privates. We are privates free.
That may be very much Dr. Radish's problem after the end.
I would look down at my notes if I took any at this point, and it would say something like, hand buffing privates. And that's how useless my notes always turn to be.
Yeah, hand buffing privates. There we go. The doc
no privates,
was,
but I have Radish.
Was poisoned by having his suit rent by one of these things. We got some really interesting notes on his subjective experience of being poisoned. And we got him back up to the ship, got the crash kit into him, stabilised him, and took him up to back to Endeca.
Straight to Bayern.
To Bayern, yeah, Bayern. And he's been stabilised. The boffins reckon these things are basically obligate carnivores in an environment with basically nothing to eat, so they hone in laser-like on anything that could conceivably be food.
Honed in on the relish.
But the astrophysicists reckon they have pinpointed where this hypernova would be. So we went to investigate.
Hypernova. I am going to be the dissenting voice. I don't like the term hypernova.
What would you like to call it?
Well, hyper just... It's not like super only better. We don't know what happened. I'd like to call it a anomaly. Stellar anomaly.
Just an anomaly? You don't want something more specific?
Well, stellar anomaly.
The anti-Chandrakesar. Who knows?
Not the Radich effect.
Ooh.
That's already happened to the nurses in the sick bay.
Radich effect.
It's that deodorant, isn't it? That's the Radich effect.
Oh, yeah. We did.
When this trip is over, I'll put my name on anything.
We found a star-sized mass based on affecting Stupeter warp. And eventually managed to pin it down as this tiny, merely 11,000 kilometre mass, which should be a black hole, but isn't.
Well, it wasn't a star-sized mass, particularly. It was
a star-massed mass.
A massive mass that's massive enough to be a star.
Very rough guess based on the curvature of the FTL limit, which is a thing you can just check by flying through it, is about 0.8 solar mass.
Mm.
Okay. And how much... Right, okay. But jammed into 11,000 kilometres.
Very approximately. I mean, you're guessing that by basically flying past it with a known star on the other side of it.
Mm. So that's smaller than the Earth.
It's it's slightly smaller than the Earth, yeah.
And almost as heavy as our sun.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels like it shouldn't really be.
I'm going to do a quick back of the envelope calculation based on the Chandrasekhar limit, which we all understand.
Okay. Well, basically what that will tell you is it's too small to be a black hole or a neutron star.
Yeah. I was thinking it was unlikely to be a neutron
star. So not dense, okay. Too small to be a black hole.
Basically, the stellar evolution process, if there is that little mass, less than about 1.5 solar masses, the red giant comes apart and you get down to a stable white dwarf.
So have we just got the burnt off heart of a star?
Well, that's where it gets weird. Do you actually have relevant science?
I have physics and astronomy.
Yeah. I mean, your pathetic Terran theories say that this ought to be a white dwarf.
Mm.
There is the theoretical concept of a black dwarf, but the universe hasn't been a universe for long enough for that to happen.
So it's not... Okay, it takes a long time to burn down to a cinder, very simple terms, and longer than the age of the universe. Which we still, in Traveller 20, we still think about 14 billion years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's been fined down because they've taken leap years into account.
Okay, could something have sucked out the energy? So basically, it's not emitting anything. Is it hot?
No. It's not radiating anything you can detect, unless you count gravity as a form of radiation.
Where has all the energy gone? From this sun.
Well, you see, they got this box. They put it right next to it, and then they pulled the switch. And I suspect it's why everything else in the whole air, in the whole cluster, is to use the military parlance, clusterfucked.
So could you? You've been saving that one, haven't you?
I might have.
Well, if there'd been a supernova, the planet we'd just been on would be toast, presumably.
Well, I mean, it's quite a long way away.
But there wouldn't be anything living on it because of the radiation.
Depending on just how close it was and how intense it was.
And also depending, say, for example, if it was in the shadow of its star.
Well, it would have to be pretty intense because it's burned out all of its stellar fuel and all of any residual energy after that. And left it with nothing. Could you induce that in a star? Is there any way that we could do that?
There are wild theories, but nobody has got anything close to the degree of stellar engineering that it would take.
Hmm. That's it, though. Somebody's popped off a doomsday device, which has detonated this sun. And
I think it's really interesting.
Somewhere,
now,
yeah.
You see, if Jethro hadn't been in the power armour, he could have got the hallucination involving the box with this side towards enemy on every side.
Wouldn't there be vestiges of such a...
Vestiges?
Vestiges. Wouldn't there be a signature of such a large expenditure of energy visible on the way we came here, or even
well,
from Earth?
Well, that depends, really. Depends on how long ago it was. Do bear in mind you are only 400-odd light-years from Earth. Well, more like 200 now. Mm. You've been coming back a fair way. Add to that, you know, 10,000 years of astronomical observation, and you're only looking at stuff happening in the last 12,000 years.
Yeah, right. Fair point. Fair point. And would it be conceivably survivable if this hypernova happened? Well, would any biological life?
It all depends on how close you are.
And how close is this planet that we've just been on to the star?
Well, yeah, several light years.
Okay.
I mean, we did observe there's that pattern of large portions of the planet being bombarded, but...
I think that was more conventional weaponry.
No.
Okay.
That wasn't my interpretation.
Don't think you've landed to take a look.
Okay. All right.
No, well, not on that one, but on the one we actually did land on was that...
But this wouldn't just be like a and done. I mean, this would last... Depending on how it's done,
depending on how
it would last some time. Like to do that all in an instant. Well, a weapon like that could take over the universe.
Well,
destroy it mostly.
You know those big things that are
same thing, really. Isn't it?
That are basically propping up the universe at the moment, apparently.
Elephants,
what? Women.
No, there's big bars of. Stuff that we've discovered when we were in the Pleiades.
Have you spent a lot of time in there?
No. Weren't there big... wasn't the Pleiades connected through to the centre of the...
This was the vision that some of you had after you'd attempted to communicate.
Yeah, there's some kind of linkage.
I don't know about propping up the universe.
No,
like
that
a kind
really
of
my impression.
No, I think
wedge under a door.
Interesting theory.
Well, thank you for your astronomical theories, Dr. Jethro. Mm.
So,
there's an interesting science fiction story where somebody actually makes a universe in their laboratory. Laboratory?
Laboratory.
This isn't a
50s way.
In their lab.
Using their microwave.
All right, Magella.
Basically, it expands out to about, I don't know, maybe about a metre or so. But they're able to just about see what's happening inside, and they can see that there's light and stuff. There's nothing they can't really interact with it. But as it starts shrinking back down, it stops for quite a long while, for a far longer than all the maths would say. And they can see there's this massive hexagon structure all over. And basically the people inside have realised that basically they're in a collapsing universe. And have basically
put some props up.
Put some props up to actually to slow it down. And it literally slows it down for them billions of years. So... And the scientist who actually did it all and stuff, she's there going, I was so proud of them.
All right, well, let's crunch some numbers and just see if we can work out how long ago this star went, if we can compare its temperature to absolute zero. And
well, that's difficult. I mean, at the range you're at, it's very difficult even to aim an instrument at it precisely.
Well, let's get a bit closer then.
Yeah, so this is where Commodore Schmidt says, doctor. You are not taking my flotilla in there, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So the Boffins were talking about modifying some probes to have longer lasting, greater range on the reaction drives.
Yeah, well, in this case, the proposal is essentially take one of the what's normally an interstellar probe, pull the stutter warp completely, drop it off from just outside the stutter warp wall, and let it fall towards the star on reaction drive. Sorry, X star, which might take a week or so of coasting. And then wake it up and see what it can see.
Well, that'll give me a bit of time to feel better, so I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a plan.
I'm very on board with not going past any sort of radius limits.
Mm-hmm.
What about the captain of the bio? She was very keen on flying into some random phenomena. Maybe she'll go in.
No, she's quite keen on not actually screwing over a ship. I had this conversation with her.
Well, she is now. You don't have to kill her.
It would have been fine.
No, it really wouldn't.
Who knows? We didn't do it for a good reason.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I basically put her in a probe and sent her off by herself. Yeah.
That's why we have, expendable ex-scouts and astrophysicists to throw at these problems.
As was mentioned in the other group, what, still alive after the third mission to clean up standing lad like you?
Got ablative radish for this kind of situation. So, I mean, if we're going to do... I mean, this seems like a reasonable opportunity to... Oh, if we are doing this, will we be close enough to do more observations of the... go on, let's call it Scorpion 5. It's got the Scorpion, it's got the Pentagon. Yeah, Scorpion 5.
Go with that.
You know, the biologists can, or the xenologists can do their, observations of that with some probes, some of the shorter distance probes. Dr. Radish can get healed up properly.
Well, we've got space healing now.
Having had the experience of all your blood being instantly pumped out of your body and replaced by fire, you now have the experience of all your blood being pumped out of your body and replaced by non-toxic blood.
That's better. I prefer that one.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do with the toxic blood? Should have gone for the
Lemmy option. All of the blood in your body replaced by whiskey.
That's why it's very dangerous if Lemmy lights up a cigarette.
Mm.
Is he still in
those? Not in an enclosed space.
No, he's been
space.
Dead for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And that's what they
want. Sometimes soon, of him in person.
Sometime soon, he will actually stop playing the guitar.
He died just before 2016.
Probably.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, if you're going to check out, that was probably a good time to leave off. To be.
He died.
Wanted to upstage David Bowie.
What was it on the same day?
No, it was.
No, it would have been before.
About a week before.
So, a couple of questions. One is, does anybody want to throw in some engineering M drive to get the probe built? And two, does anybody have any suggestions about the mission profile?
I mean, Radish is right. Things like temperature, any form of radiation. I'm trying to think what. Obviously, your basic, size. If we can work that out.
Well, that's the problem. Have we got old observations of this area of space? Has there been any change going back as far back as we are familiar with?
Yes.
Or has it always looked like this?
Yes. I mean, the Hyades have been a known star cluster. They are. Are they naked eye observable? Good question. I don't know. But even crude telescopes can see there's something a bit weird there.
I want to say they're Southern Hemisphere, so
I have a feeling.
Cares.
Yeah, maybe Pleiades is not. So can we compare?
Yes, it is.
By that extrapolation, can we work out anything with the change over time? Can we work out anything from the original state of this star, or? I guess what I'm saying is we've not just got a snapshot now. We have got observations from the past.
You have got observations of increasing crapness going back maybe 10,000 years.
But can we use that to build up a picture of what might have happened?
Nobody in that observing time has found anything emitting light here, specifically.
Yeah, okay. But there must be... Even then, like, have we got any... What I want is some kind of change over time. Temperature, visual light of any kind of radiation, gravity waves, anything that will help us then extrapolate further.
Well, yeah, over the pathetically short extent of human civilization.
Yes,
no.
Yes. Okay. So there hasn't been anything changed here in the whole time that we've been looking at it.
Correct.
Okay. Mm. That's going to make it hard to extrapolate much from this.
When we came over, were we talking well enough to any alien civilizations that we could have borrowed some of their...
I feel you'd bring up the sex bot again.
No, we're not going to bring up the sex bot. I was talking about when we originally first left.
The Embers and the Song of the Xiang and so on. Mm-hmm. They may, but anything that they did provide was incorporated into the mission database.
Okay, cool.
Oi.
So the answer is, Doctor, no.
No, okay. What is the...
We could, I suppose, as to the extent we can, you know, sample the space that the probe is in. Is that, you know, are there any, elements, distinctive element patterns that it can detect? Is there anything there? Has everything been blown out? You know, does it have the normal interstellar medium, etc.?
Have we tried shooting anything at this?
Well, that's effectively what the probe's going to do.
I don't think it's the kind of thing Mason had in mind.
To be fair, it is actually planning on turning around and basically firing a plasma torch at the star. On the other hand,
using an active sensor mode. You want to rip its brains out. So, you know, I think there's a difference in approach to what...
It's merely a difference in effect. Well, not even effect. It's merely a difference in emphasis. So...
Yeah, I mean, you would certainly be aware that stutterwalk missiles are used in space combat. Basically, the idea is you put a nuclear bomb close to the opposing ship, close in relative terms, and then it pops the X-ray laser that actually does the damage. But though A, you don't have any of those, and B, they don't have anything like the range that you would need in this case, and C, obviously it's going inside the no stutterwalk zone.
And what is that? So that's not a say, just the stutter warp doesn't function in a great...
Yeah, so there are two limits that matter. One is the you can't go FTL, which is the one that in this case is, what did I say? About 2.2 AU out.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is effectively stutter warp stops working completely.
Okay.
Which, if this is, a normal mass, which everything in the universe except the nodes in the Pleiades that you're aware of has been, would be at about 320 million kilometers out, something like that.
Because In the Sol system, it's somewhere. I want to say it's somewhere around sort of Jupiter that stutterwarp actually works. Is it?
You can use it quite a lot further in, but you don't go FTL until roughly asteroid belt, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't have any better suggestions other than it goes there and reads everything that a probe can read.
Meanwhile, back on the planet that we just came from, are there any metallic structure? Bear in mind that there was the we found the obelisk and stuff.
Yep.
Are there any metallic structures that are buried at all? Could we do a magneto?
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing that could have been being done from orbit while you were down there. Mm. Or indeed before you went down there in the hope of finding somewhere interesting to land. The answer seems to be no, basically.
Because obviously, if it was, you know, things like Cheyenne Mountain, you would be it would be dead easy to find if you basically fly anything over the top of it on the grounds that there's an awful lot of metal in one very small place.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be anything like that. So, or at least not that has survived the approximately 900,000 years.
Mm. So, we haven't really got any observations of this mass other than we think it's there. Mm-hmm. Is that basically what we're saying?
It's behaving like a mass.
Yeah.
You've got these star occlusions, so you say it's about 11,000 kilometres.
Yeah, there's something there that's just occluding things, and there appears to be a mass, but that's really, it's all kind of indirect observation.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The sensors you use at this sort of distance tend to be telescopes, and while you might well be able to resolve a planet with starlight bouncing off it, there doesn't seem to be anything bouncing off this.
Mm.
My other thought as well is Felix, old chap.
Mm-hmm.
You know those plants that we brought back with us?
The samples, yeah.
Would you mind touching a few of them?
We should see if they're...
see if you still
have they been... Are they still extant? Would be my first question. Have they, you know, deliquesced or anything?
They definitely seem to be not thriving.
Hmm.
Well, I was expecting them to... I mean, this is a bit like... the first of the Flicks books. You know, the...
Boy, you're going back there, mate.
Yeah. You know, the one where they go on the planet that's... When he goes on the Tartarum Kerrang or whatever that... You know, I can't even remember the name of the actual thing. But there's a planet that he sees various things, and one of which is the green... And there's the planet where basically it's all very interconnected, shall we say. So.
Hmm.
But I'm thinking that it probably is, it needs to be part of the planetary...
It makes sense.
Electrical field or whatever.
Yeah, there's something missing from... its environment, just given the weird similarity of everything.
Yeah.
Have we managed to do any kind of analysis on it?
We
at least got the basic, you know, biochemical properties of it? At least got something.
Do you have a relevant science-y skill?
I don't think I have, but that's what Radish is for, surely.
It's not. I'm just not a piece of science.
I collect the samples.
Oh, you're a broken Dr. piece Radish. Of science.
Yes.
I have xenology and biology and genetics.
So the initial dissection will show you very fine scale structures, like well below sensible biological scale. Filaments running through the stem and tendrils, and dozens of tiny black nodules where the filaments join.
What more? I have got cybernetics and robotics.
Black as in nanites.
Machine scale.
Definitely smaller than biological scale, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But constructed or grown?
At this scale, does it really make a difference?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay.
Oh, and can we check to see whether Felix has got any of those inside him now?
Probably should. Yeah.
Let's dissect Felix.
We thought it's probably an electrical field phenomenon, but you know what?
There was that.
Do a few samples.
Well, you did have a hole in your suit.
I feel at this point I should take a leaf from my old avian medicine and sacrifice Felix for the good of the flock. Now that we know what it looks like, would it show up on any of our scans? Now we know what we're looking for.
Of taking a tissue sample and analysing it destructively, but I mean that's a thing you can do without damaging the subject.
If we want to,
yeah, take a blood sample, muscle biopsy, that kind of thing.
Somewhere around where he got bit.
Yeah, is there a visible wound?
Yeah,
no.
We know where it was on his suit. Mm.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Analyze the suit for traces, and then Which is your least favourite finger, Felix?
Yours, mostly.
We'll just take a small tissue sample from the entry site and a blood sample.
Mm-hmm.
And a semen sample for my own personal collection.
Have you checked the library? Surely,
I slipped.
Check the library. It's like a Jackson Pollock if you use a black light. Oh dear!
I've not missed much. Then is that what you say?
No.
So the short answer is no. There doesn't seem to be any lasting contamination.
And you're going to live. Okay, and Felix. It looks like you're in the clear, Felix. As far as we can tell, we've discovered these plant creatures are more constructed than biological, or at least. On a gross level, are they biological? I guess what I'm trying to ascertain is, are they entirely robotic or are they cybernetic organisms?
I mean, they have grown elements, but the first thing you notice that was strange about them, the way that everyone grown in exactly the same pattern, would suggest that those grown elements are not
random or
operating on their own.
Mm. Okay, all right. So there's some kind of, well, I don't know about robots, but some kind of maybe robot. Were they mobile in any way?
No. They weren't, no.
Maybe they were information nodes or something? Some computer?
Mm.
Well, this would be, I do have cybernetics, but I think maybe this is more of an engineering thing. If we look at the map of it. Or computers. I've got electronics computers.
Yeah, same. I can have a look.
Can we plug it in?
Doesn't seem to be. Let's see. Gosh, they don't have alien fairy lights. How careless of them.
Mm.
I mean, to be fair, this is not really a thing that humans are very good at, apart from the implants. Mm. So.
Mason's got his magic eye.
Is the planet radiating?
Yeah, if I focus correctly, I can see a dolphin.
So this is interesting because this suggests either whatever happened took long enough that people were able to design and construct and set up a kind of memory preservation module for maybe whatever survivors they expected to try and rebuild their civilization or something like that. They had the time to do that, even if it was a case of putting all that information into technology they already had and seeding it. The destruction of the star took long enough that they were able to work out that was going to happen and plan for it. Or they somehow had something set up already which captured that information, including the apparent memories of the people on the ship that was going to do the mission.
Are there any other planets? I think Felix might be onto something here. Are there any other planets that are in any way as well preserved as this one?
This is the one that was from which you could blatantly spot a non-natural structure from orbit.
Okay.
And on others, there are things that might be or they might be rock formations, and it's always very hard to tell.
Are there any others where there are vegetation of any
Vegetation, yes. Vegetation of this specific sort has not been spotted.
Yeah. It's almost like this is a memory planet, that this is where that they've... Such a bad thing happened that they've, in essence, created a planet to say, hey, bad things happened.
Kind of a planetary scale never again.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the sort of, I don't know, Holocaust memorial world.
The scorpions represent the greed of mankind.
Theory.
Those shitters. I knew I didn't like the greed of mankind.
There's two separate things. So there's two kind of separate truths here. So we're getting very philosophical. One is, does what Felis experienced through the memory transfer thing accurately represent what happened? And the second one is that an authentic memory?
No.
Because it is possible that someone, whether survivors or somebody else, came along afterwards
and created the memory.
And created the memories as part of perhaps a memorial idea.
We know that they're not 100% accurate because
you saw,
especially
humans.
In your second one, you saw humans with wearing the uniform of your militia.
Yeah, so we know there is some filter or deliberate modification.
Although something he's really not telling you about his own world.
True.
He's not Cornish. We don't need to.
We're not all that identical. Yeah.
Can I just point out that of the four of us, two of us are.
That's the real... This whole mission has been a space horror journey into darkness.
It's been pasties at every meal. followed by a cream tea. Well, you just watch us put the jam on first.
Why?
Felix is just out here going, you know, these dumplings are not satisfactory.
I'm distracted thinking about American biscuits now, which are
why?
Like
why would
a
you do
scone,
that?
But not a scone. Very strange. Anyway.
I do like them actually with gravy. I wouldn't want to have a scone with gravy.
Biscuits in gravy was a shock to me. I've never eaten them because it seems
no
impossible
way
to do that without putting a dead animal in it. But,
yeah, well, wait until you try shit on a shingle. I mean, really, with names like that, I didn't feel they were presenting the best of the culture to me in the first game, but it's not nice.
Right.
Yeah, moving on.
So, okay, is Felix following the suggestion and being careless with his specimen?
I am advising not as your medical professional.
If that is the doc's advice, I think I will steer clear of it.
Oh,
is there an obvious mechanism?
Stick your finger in it.
The thing is, right, stroke it, Jeffrey.
We can always...
You're the medical professional,
if,
really.
If we want,
I am
we can always get another sample and do it later.
I'm just finding it a bit sad that Felix's doctor is Dr. Radish. And all I can think about is how when he was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, Warren Zevon's doctor was Hunter S. Thompson. And it's like, you know...
So why wouldn't it change the outcome? And he probably had a better time of it. I had an important... is there an obvious mechanism for information transfer from these plants to a human? Can we replicate it in a way that doesn't involve Felix stroking it?
No.
Okay.
I think the stroke factor is quite important.
It doesn't need skin contact, but it needs quite something quite close to it. Thin suit.
I'm lowering my glasses
by the other group as they were going
mark.
Down to the planet. Yeah, they'd say, well, wear this armour, that armour. Me, you do realise that's the Venus-grade survival suit, do you? Don't you, player? Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't be against Felix licking it in the interest of science. I don't want him stroking it. Okay.
How else would you ever know what it tastes like?
Actually, to be honest, we probably should have someone else touch it to see if it's the same phenomenon.
There must be some one of your lab partners.
Crack out another rat. go on then. I will touch it and see if we have the same thing. Okay. Felix and I have shared a lot of phenomena together.
Okay.
That's why I wanted this human sensor.
Oh, actually, that's a good point. We could do with somebody who wasn't over the event horizon on the other place as well. But we'd still need you first, Doctor.
But too late.
Good point.
You're standing on a platform inside a huge chamber. The walls are just visible in the distance. It seems to be made of rough stone. It's a vast sphere, maybe kilometres across. And the platform you're standing on juts out from the wall halfway up one side. In the centre of it is a machine. It takes up most of this space. It's enormous. It's hugely complex. Its details are hard to determine. It seems to shimmer and shift as you look at it, though you have a vague impression that of huge energies. And whatever's controlling those energies is barely within your understanding. You know that you know how this works and how to operate it, but you can't quite bring it to mind right now. The device is in constant motion. It's forming complex shapes and impossible configurations, changing from second to second. Seeing it fills you with a sense of pride. It's the culmination of many years of study. But it's tempered with fear as well. You know that this device could be put to terrible use in the wrong hands. A hexagonal console rises smoothly from the floor in front of you, and you begin to input a series of complex commands. Your train of thought is interrupted by a commotion from behind. You turn and see a group of soldiers barging their way into the cavern, pushing your colleagues aside. There are raised voices, and you can feel a sense of creeping dread rise up as you understand that your worst fears have been realised.
Okay. I'll explain this to her. I seem to be the custodian of some kind of weapon. Bloody military barged in.
Do you know what kind of weapon?
Presumably the one that did that to the star, but...
Were you on a asteroid, or were you on a planetary body?
You had gravity.
Was it gravity, or was it centrifuge?
It was Cornish gravity.
So actual gravity.
I don't know that through a hallucination, or even in person, I could tell the difference.
Oh no, sorry, where are you from?
I am from... I'm a spacer.
Oh,
okay. It was actually the microgravity you grew up with.
Oh, interesting. Okay, no, I think it was a space station of some kind.
It's too big to be a space station.
That's no moon.
I think I'm getting Death Star vibes from this thing.
What? Blown up a planet and this kind of thing? Yeah. I can see why that might be the case.
Okay, well, they did build a weapon. It seemed to be there pre-existing, as maybe as a fail-safe, or maybe it was a mobile thing, and they flew it. But it wasn't.
From the sounds of what you're saying, Doctor, I would have said maybe more. It could be used for research. Your thing was for research, but it could easily be turned to a weapon. Almost like, if you think about it, fusion is for us.
Well, anything involves a manipulation of energy is going to have potential difficult consequences if you're on the shit end of it.
As they say, the dose makes the civilian applications.
Alright, well... How did this transfer occur? Because I should have said before it started, I was like jammed up the wazoo literally with all kind of monitors and things.
As far as the monitors are concerned, you had a brief seizure.
Structure to my brainwaves or anything?
Well, I mean, consistent with something like that rather than...
So an electrical impulse came in. Can we track the electrical impulse going up to his brain?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but a seizure, there's no structure to a seizure, it's just a kind of random.
Yeah, that's what the sensors could detect.
Okay. But to me, it was.
So we couldn't detect any sort of actual information pattern or anything like that.
Well, no. We'd have wired this plant up as well. Was that emitting anything?
Well, at the point of contact, yeah.
Did it match anything that?
Well, an electrical impulse. So the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. We should experiment with inanimate things touching the plant. maybe some isolated organic tissue, and just see, are there patterns in what the electricity does? Can we detect and analyze some kind of thing? This is probably beyond the scope of the scenario, but that seems like the sort of thing we would be doing.
Well, I mean, it seems how to be does some this kind work? Of telepathy.
That's not real.
No, but I'm wondering.
Psionics.
Oh, I'm sorry. Know, where did you get your science degree from, Jethro?
I've heard so many frontier people.
What? Going What's on about wrong with Trigurian poly?
Psionics.
We got to explain it somehow. Why you might as well call it telepathy?
It's no telly, though, is it? It's some apathy.
All right, just apathy. That sounds less.
Yeah, we've discovered apathy. Brilliant.
Or hapathy, possibly. Haptapathy.
Yes.
Apathy.
Haptic feedback, like.
That's how you feel when you work all day down pit and you get an apath.
Yeah.
Right. I had a hugely marketable idea the other day, the haptic weather report, a mechanism by which you can just stick your hand out of the bed and realise it's raining out there. This sounds so much better than a very soggy cat jumped onto my bed.
That's like the cat is the remote haptic weather.
Mm-hmm.
What's that old detect normal fire spell, which the material component of which is oil and a range of touch?
This reminds me of Speak to Dead, a spell I created. It lets you talk to dead people.
We weren't actually back, but you can talk to them.
There's a list of things you can say to them as well.
Yes, gave one of his players a ring of invulnerability.
Why didn't
he
respect
as he
me
discovered now? Out, he discovered in a fight that the ring is indeed invulnerable. never mind.
So, meanwhile, the mission board has come round to the idea of using two probes, one to impact and one to swing by.
Good idea. Mm. We were about to say that, but we wanted to see if you came
be interested to see what the Doppler effect of the... Because presumably they're going to be talking back all the way via laser or something along that line.
If you leave a relay just outside the sort of wall, you'll be looking at about a 30-second light speed delay. So they're going to have to work mostly autonomously.
Mm.
Right, so
basically you have two almost identical sets of instructions. Go that way, crash. Go that way, don't crash.
decisions.
Right, so let me just have a look at your skills, which is why I keep pestering you about.
See, out of game, I am thinking something like quantum fluctuations and stuff, but to be fair, Jethro wouldn't give a flying dodo.
Right, so, yeah, basically, I'll probably use Anton Dorn for it. We'll fly into near the stutterwart wall, drop off the probes, and then they accelerate towards the star. They have to go into hibernation for the week of passage.
For the probes, yeah.
Yeah. Limited internal battery. Yep, bringing them back online seems to work. Right. Could I have, from any of you who want to make it, electronic sensors.
Oh, hello.
Oh, I've got that one.
With int.
Neither of which my speciality.
Actually, no, I've not. No, it's, I'm not. No, curses. I'm remote operation. I'm not sensors.
Sorry, was that a number?
10 for me.
Excellent.
13?
Excellent. Even more excellent. Science astronomy with Edu.
That is my speciality. That will be 15.
Okay. And electronics remote ops with int.
I'll have a go.
No, I haven't got that one.
A mere 8, I'm afraid.
Okay, that's not working so well. Well, we'll see how we go.
Oh, I can try it. I've got electronics other, haven't I? So, no.
So, what can you learn? First of all, looking at the trajectory on the way in, you can confirm it's about 8 solar masses, about 11,000 kilometres diameter, so that would make it ridiculously dense, you know, 280 million kilograms per cubic metre. Its particle flux suggests a weak rotating magnetic field, so maybe the thing itself is rotating. Let's see, thermal and visual sensors. It is a few fractions of a degree above cosmic background.
Okay.
3.002 or something. The surface is extremely uniform. It's an oblate spheroid and almost entirely non-reflective.
Best kind of spheroid.
The sort nobody uses for sports.
But we do like to live on.
Surface materials, there is some carbon and there is some oxygen. There are some weird patches where their analysis is, can't really tell much because it basically you send a laser or whatever and it just bounces straight back.
Mm.
So it's mostly very absorbent black, but it's got these very few shiny patches.
Mm.
Are they in any kind of pattern or is that a random?
No sign of a pattern.
Probably where the spaceships were.
Itself is a pair.
As it gets in a bit closer, you start using active radar. Okay, we've got two layers here. We've got a... A very shallow, compact structure.
Mm-hmm.
Compressed dust or ash or something of that sort. Formation to it, and below that is an extremely dense material which seems to be the reflective stuff.
Mm.
Would the dense material be about the same sort of thing as a neutron star?
Nobody really knows. They haven't had a good look at one.
I mean, is it kind of to the... If you turn around and say, right, okay... Take all the ash off because the weight of that is probably inconsequential.
Mm-hmm.
But it did increase the actual overall diameter. If you then go to the reduced diameter, sorry,
by a tiny fraction.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I was hoping it would be nice, be something like you turn around and say, right, okay, well it's down by a third, which then actually makes the inner bit a neutron star.
No, a neutron star would have to have more mass than this.
Well, no, a neutron star would have. No, a neutron star. Sorry, I do apologise. A neutron object.
Well,
this hasn't got the density of for it to be made of neutronium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it may well be some conventional sort of matter. When our physicist gets back from calls of nature, I will ask for a roll about that.
Mm-hmm. Gets back from the head. Yeah.
See again.
Here is a once in a lifetime event. Oh, just go to the loo.
I mean, I would too. I'd be nervous.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You're just nervous all the time.
It is. It's performance issues.
So, probe number one is heading towards the surface. It is torn apart by the tides well before it gets there. The reaction drive housing itself is probably the strongest bit for obvious reasons, and that hits more or less intact. And the impact is just weird. I mean, you expect it. Most of you, through various contexts, have seen things hitting airless moons, for example.
Mm.
And, yeah, there's
quite a lot.
Yeah, even without explosion involved. And there is a spray of debris and so on. And there basically isn't a spray of debris.
Does it just basically pancake on the surface?
It makes a small scrape on the surface, which has exposed more of this reflective stuff.
So, do we reckon that's because the gravity is so strong that nothing had a chance to escape?
Well, it's definitely not anything like a black hole. Doctor, I mean, I have a physics and edu?
12.
One thing that you might speculate would be electron degenerate matter.
Right.
Mm. Okay, so that actually is starting to go towards neutronium, then.
Well, but not there.
Yes.
What is this stuff where electrons can move freely between the whole thing? Or?
Basically, the gravitational pressure is sufficient to overcome their mutual repulsion.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
They start getting pulled in. Neutronium is basically where your neutrons and your electrons and protons get pulled together, and basically everything's neutron on the ground.
Yeah, you probably would still have in this model separate electrons, but they're a lot closer than they would normally be.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Mm.
And
is that the sort of thing that a physicist would wet themselves for?
I've already got enough for many Nobel Prizes on this mission, but that doesn't occur naturally then.
Just makes me think that all Nobel Prize winners smell of wee.
Electrodegenerate matter can be observed in some white dwarfs.
Oh, okay.
But they are white dwarfs, and they would still be thousands of degrees.
Is this roughly the proportions we would expect in a white dwarf, or more?
You can't really tell. I mean, you don't know how much mass it had originally, you don't know how much it lost.
Yeah, okay, I think we're in a bit of a blank slate. Okay, is this one step away from a black hole, then?
You need about two more of it to make a black hole.
Two more mass, double the mass.
Triple the mass. No.
Triple the mass. Okay.
So it is actually pretty close.
So nobody go and stand on it. That'll be just enough.
You are familiar, of course, with the Fat Man effect.
No.
One of the things that is an effective moderator, which can promote nuclear reactions if it sufficiently surrounds an active core, is water. And there's a lot of water in people. So there are certain scenarios in which walking too close to a device will actually cause it to detonate.
And a fat man is more likely to cause it to detonate than a thin man.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Manjaro potentially going to save the world. All right, well, I mean, I think the star has detonated. There's some extremely exciting physical, by physical I mean physics phenomenon, not physical. Not mechanical. There are some extremely interesting astronomical phenomenon. It's on that border between particle physics and astronomy, the best kind of science.
The sort that gets you two separate prizes.
I mean, there's no way we can get a sample of it, is that? I mean, it's not that kind of...
No.
But, I mean, we have already got a sample. If we've got all the data, that's basically what we need.
Yeah, I mean, nothing got... the second probe has swung round it. and it's gradually drifting out again. It'll run out of battery and shut down, but it's got the onboard storage and it's forwarded everything back to you. But
it actually was able to. It wasn't. It didn't just corkscrew in.
But at the altitude it was at, there wasn't anything for it to sample beyond what the sensors were telling it.
And there's no possibility of any structures of any kind.
It's about 30G on the surface.
Yeah, okay. All right. Whatever did this has gone somewhere else. Or maybe it was destroyed in the... Is there one way to find out? Someone want to stroke the plant?
Rather sadly, I'm afraid, Doctor, I've done sort of a bit of few back of the envelope calculations, and even if we had the schematics to actually make X-ray weaponry, I couldn't actually make you something big enough to actually get an escape trajectory. To actually be able to get off it. Basically, I could get something that would blow up, but it would all fall back down again. Sorry.
Well, don't be sorry that I can't build the most monstrous weapon ever seen in the universe. I mean, thanks for your thoughts.
That is exactly the sort of thing that Jethro is going to be very, very upset about.
Yeah. The rest was doing, phew. So
there's going to be a conversation once you've got home that involves the phrase "we cannot allow a star killer gap."
quick, ply him with alcohol until he forgets any of this. this feels like another one of those situations where an extended mission could set up shop here. And design and test and construct something capable of resisting the surface pressure long enough to sample and send back data.
Yes, but not something can't. For us on our little trip round.
Is that a reasonable assessment, Roger, or am I wildly miscalculating?
Certainly, while the collected science departments aboard multiple ships are reluctant, they will grudgingly admit that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot more you can actually do with the kit you have.
They probably have the skills to do all of that, but it's whether we are in a good position to do that.
And we don't have the infinite supply of expendable spacecraft.
Brave
volunteers.
Yeah.
I think we are kind of probably done here for this one.
I mean, again, like mapping and thoroughly analysing Scorpion 5, again, that feels like, you know, that is several people's entire careers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just working on that, working at what can they possibly get from
it. I am thinking that we probably could do with investigating the other stars and see the other planets.
Well, you've done at least orbital surveys, and there wasn't anything like this structured surviving.
No.
I think we leave other people to pick, you know, see me as more of a facilitator who gets full credit on any papers, and is, you know, put first amongst equals. And then we'll move on.
Can we get quite a few people to touch the plant? Ideally, people who haven't been through an event arrive.
Could we sell tickets?
The answer is yes, but it does seem to have denatured to the point that it doesn't work anymore.
Reasonable.
Could we sell non-refundable tickets?
So it was almost like that was what was in that particular plant.
Well, all the specimens are not thriving.
Yeah, like you said, away from whatever was sustaining them,
they just degenerated. So the planet must be radiating something. Radish, what's the planet radiating?
What do you mean, heat wise or? So the plant must be radiated.
So, well, no. So if you look,
that's
at, say,
why this is why I suggested telepathy and was shot down because no. there is
so if you
no.
Look at the, no, but if
you were shot down impulse. Because it's stupid.
There was an electrical impulse, which but, may have transferred.
That wasn't actually what Jethro was asking.
No,
the so, planet or the planet.
What is it about the planet's environment that lets these plants thrive?
Oh, the
where
planet, not the
shipboard environment, does not.
Hmm. Yeah,
oh,
so,
I see. Yeah, well,
so
they're not
the
biological.
Idea being, yeah, but the idea being is that the Earth outshines the Sun by several orders of magnitude, depending on what frequencies you look at. Though that's starting to actually drop back down now, funnily enough. And actually, funnily enough, one of the big things now that actually is starting to become more and more is actually Wi-Fi. But that's a whole... different arguments, but basically the sort of frequencies the Wi-Fi is on tend to be quite strong numbered species. But that's what I'm kind of looking for.
What is it that is keeping the plants going? Could I invest? They're part biological. Is it the biological bit that's degrading, or the?
Well, they're interlinked. It's hard to say what starts first. I mean, your immediate thoughts would be something radiative, something chemical.
Okay.
You've kept them in a sample of planetary atmosphere.
Now, I've put some baby bio in with them. So, if that didn't work, I'm out of ideas.
Have you put them together?
What, the plants?
Hmm.
I mean, I can. I don't think that's it. There is something that means they're not. But again, the chance of me figuring this out before these things die is not that high.
No.
But I'll try.
But looking back at the planet, and bear in mind we've got probes and stuff there, I guess.
Well, it doesn't have to be... These things were stuck in the ground. They could have been extracting nutrients from the...
Well, no, I don't think it's anything... I don't think it's nutrients, Doctor. I think it is actually an information exchange.
Well, maybe what we've done is extract a chip from a larger...
Yes.
Okay.
But in the event that you did that, you would still be able to turn around and say, there is an electronic current running through, that was running through the chip until you pulled it out.
I see.
And you could put something, and you could give it the equivalent current, albeit that the information.
The difference is this is biotech in some way. And we don't have that in our technology. We've got very limited cybernetics,
but we do. There are some bio.
You can ask the pentapod if you had one.
Yeah, the pentapods are the
I'm probably better handing it over to them then because it's not really human tech. I mean, we can try.
That might be something else to follow up.
But I feel like we've. The thing is spent. It's jizzed up its brain juice into us.
Well, this particular one has anyway.
Emptied its bio ball sack in many ways.
Because really, what I mean...
Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
obviously Jethro isn't in charge and everyone's quite glad at that. But if he was...
I don't think shooting it...
No.
How about some high kinetic energy? Would that be what triggered
it? See, not at all. I'm afraid you're completely barking up the wrong tree, Doctor. My thing is that with both you and Felix having been... Not particularly, Felix having been exposed twice, you being exposed once, and
that was never proven.
No obvious ill side effects. My thing is, we really want to be shipping people down in shuttles, Worth, and everybody goes
shuttle loads of plant strokers.
Yep, they go and have a touch it in situ. And see if basically there is an upper limit to how much they get.
I fear this technical conversation is going somewhat over my head.
If you want a vision of the future of humanity, Is it a shuttle load of people eternally stroking a plant into the eternity?
Well, no, but find they're all need to stroke different plants because one assumes that there is that each plant has a certain amount of jizz to give, to use your parlance, Doctor.
Well, for some reason, it sounds worse coming from you.
I'm just thinking of the quote, my only regret is that I have but one life to give.
okay, we can do that.
My thought is just purely and simply, just get a load of people touching it and see if there is a finite number of visions that you can get. And do they repeat? And when they repeat, do you get it from different perspectives and stuff?
And that's something I think you can plausibly do. You can basically ask volunteers for that.
Oh, yes, exactly.
On the basis that...
Please notice that Jethro, by the way, is not volunteering for this. but he's happy to push the idea.
Skills lie more in organisation, don't we?
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, to be fair, admin... I've got some quite good ones actually for this sort of thing. Leadership 3.
Yeah, but also you're probably going to be in charge of the security detachment keeping the scorpids off the landing party. So.
Yes. Oh, even more fun.
Congratulations, Junior. You have been accepted for the volunteer plant stroking squad. Obviously, we need to facilitate movement. So here is the baby oil and here is the sparkly bikini for which we will be recording.
Oh, dearie.
How it fits on the plant is entirely up to you.
So, to shorten the effect of that, basically, yes, there are other memories. They seem to be broadly the same period. They're basically different perspectives on this same event.
Mm.
There was a war. Different people, as I suspect you predicted, see slightly different things. The ship memory, it's always their homeworld's militia that they see. Generally, the enemy that some of them get perceptions of is the Kafers. Mm. Not all.
But then that is what most of us.
Yeah.
Will conceive of as most, the enemy.
Yeah, in some cases, it's probably the Cornish, but you know.
I was just about, you beat me to it.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Well, that's fascinating. Again, there's a whole research project here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lifetime of research projects.
We have already found many PhD projects.
Hey!
Now, we can't really leave anyone here, can we?
No.
We probably shouldn't.
Right. Well, we'll...
Can't
we'll...
leave anybody just stroking their plants.
Note the location in our little book, and we'll keep moving.
Hmm. Okay, so, moving on. Let's start with the next bit. It's probably another... A few weeks on the way back from the Pleiades, Hyades. And at the moment, there's a interesting bit of local observation possible. Looks as if two planets may well be on the point of collision. So by stopping over in that system to let the astronomy and planetology crew observe that.
Mm-hmm.
The engineering crew are taking the opportunity to shut down the fusion reactor, run the ship on backup power while they basically do the maintenance on that. Mm-hmm. George Bauer is on an ice mining operation in the outer system. That's your industry ship, basically. And Entdecker, which you lot are aboard, is grappled to Bayern, also providing supplementary power.
Mm-hmm.
Anton Dorn, the scout ship, is en route to a near an unusually steady brightness. A lot of F-type stars vary a little bit over time, So it's good for calibration. So basically, the astrophysics department wants close range observations.
Mm.
But most of Anton Dorn's crew said, "No, I want to see the planets go smash." So most of them are back with you.
Purists.
And Anton Dorn returns about 18 days early after the 21-day mission. We have a thing. Convene the mission board immediately. We got into the target system and picked up a radio signal. It is a human emergency transponder signal.
What?
More details?
There's a planet. It's an old one. Don't have an exact reference on it. It's nothing in current use.
Insert meme here.
But it's some kind of automated SOS.
Has it ever been in use?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's how we know it's the human emergency transponder signal.
Mm. I'm just thinking of our alternate history. We saw Felix that we've been using.
This is early second space age stuff.
Mm.
As in off the recovery from the Twilight War.
How far away from Earth?
Still. Ooh, I actually have a number for this because I calculated it because the adventure didn't bother to tell me.
Well, I'm so glad I asked her.
Yeah, in straight line distance, 144 light years.
What does straight line even mean in this space? But
okay. In travel distance, it would be maybe twice or more that. But
okay, okay.
Way further than anybody's gone. Sorry, go on, Mark.
So
if you were picking this up out of sort of our the shockwave of our of what we radiate out, how far ago? How long ago was it that we actually?
It's not that strong a signal. It was only detectable in system.
No. Sorry. What I'm saying is, could it be that somebody has gone, "Oh, that looks like it's a really useful thing for me to grab and repeat and basically turn around and say." So, in other words, could it be a trap?
Well, obviously, it could be.
Yeah.
Have there been many incidences of using this emergency beacon?
Back in the old days, did people use it a lot?
Back in the old days, it was, everybody was struggling to get back into space at all.
Yeah, well, I guess that's my question. Is it like, has it ever been used in an emergency situation?
Emergency beacons, full stop, yes. This specific one, probably not, but the records are quite patchy that far back.
Mm. Okay, well, that's my question, yeah.
Well, we should approach and investigate.
So do we have the similar protostar ships in that we need to go
in? Near the equator. Sorry, Nick.
Is the space emergency similar to, earthbound ship emergencies we're obliged to go and investigate?
A vessel in distress should be rendered all possible aid, yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. And it would seem sensible that we could detach.
Yeah.
And go and investigate.
And you're in a position to land, whereas very little else is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Also, I'm really curious. So if anyone suggests not going to investigate this, I'll personally strangle you. This is really interesting.
Jethro, rendering assistance is not the kind of rendering you use.
No.
Render, not rend.
No. Can I just point out?
And no asunders are involved.
I'm a Star Marine. Star Marines are the main people.
You sound like you're a massive fan of Keir Starmer.
Star Marine. It's the material that Starmer is made out of. That's why it's completely inert but incredibly resilient.
I feel the phrase wipe clean should come into this somewhere.
Yes,
very much so. My God, Teflon is probably what Teflon is.
I don't think Starmer's Teflon. He's a chip magnet, basically, isn't he? But
yeah, I know, but he still keeps wading through and not very much seems to stick.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, one fan.
Let us avoid the joy of politics for a short space.
Mark, we'll still carry on.
but the Star Marines are the primary people who would render assistance, because we're the people who tend to be whizzing, well, the Navy anyway, tend to be the people who are whizzing around all the time in ships that are capable of doing it.
Oh, look, there's a broken spacecraft and we didn't do it.
Yes, exactly. Let us have a look. Let us fix them. And, oh, how did you break down again? I wonder if that could be weaponized.
Well, there goes our salvage.
I'm sorry, we can't weaponize Dave the lazy mechanic.
I bet you can.
We tried hard enough.
So, yeah.
So, it's about a 30-hour transit. And then it's going to take you another 2 hours to get in from the FTL threshold to high orbit of the planet. And you've definitely got the signal. It is weak, but it's quite detectable.
Any other signals from the region?
Sorry?
Any other signals from around that region?
No, I mean, there's radio noise from the usual sources of it, like the star, but...
But nothing that would suggest... large machinery or communication network.
Just
this
single thing going beep, beep, beep.
Okay.
And nothing with, because obviously that's kind of quite analogy or whatever. There's no sort of, you know, FM, that's the main thing, but there's an FM, off of it, if you know what I mean.
There doesn't seem to be any other component to it. It's a very basic.
Yeah.
Let's see, what can you find out from orbit? There's an atoll near the equator where it seems to be coming from.
Yeah.
Gravity is 0.85G.
Oh, very heavy.
Air is...
85?
0.85.
No, for me, I'm a spacer. It's like wading
temperature, 34 centigrade. Higher ultraviolet than you would normally regard as good for a habitable world. Persistent cloud cover, though there are some odd bits of radar return. Let me find the...
What's the atmosphere?
Oxy-nitrogen.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it is at least plausible a human would be alive on this planet. Even a Cornishman.
In theory, they would be able to replenish gases and so on as necessary.
I mean, in theory, you could breed this stuff long term, as far as you can tell from orbit. Let me just bring in. Is that you? Yeah, that's you. So bring in that.
Oh, sorry. Mangrove swamp.
Yeah,
that's quite a specific finding.
Well, it's using the general sense of lots of stuff that has grown together in that sense.
Okay. It's rather more like the insides of a person after a particularly bad accident than it does.
It has got that sort of antropical vibe to it, hasn't it?
Or that adventure involving a goat.
Oh, yes.
Basically, it is clearly the local equivalent of a coral atoll.
Mm. Right, liquid water as well, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
And it appears to have vegetation.
The grey border area is basically a raised ridge, and the inner land is lower lying for the most part. And the stars are your areas of anomalous radar return.
Well, that's a lot of them.
Yeah,
is it just localized to this atoll and nowhere else?
It does seem to be just that one atoll. Yeah.
Hmm. 14 separate. Are they roughly the kind of from this distance, the kind of strength? Is it what an emergency beacon would give out?
One of your modern emergency beacons is about the size of a paperback book, for those of you who remember books.
I've seen pictures.
I've got a ton remainder in me bloody cabin, yeah.
you would expect something like this to be, I don't know, some bits of hull material or a metal hut or, you know, that kind of thing, that sort of size.
Right.
Possibly repurposed bits of spacecraft.
Possibly.
If people have been there for a long time.
Or possibly
scavenged.
Bits of spacecraft that crashed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And would still give us back that sort of thing.
Is it just a repeating emergency beacon, nothing else?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll get you a copy of that map for the next session.
Okay.
Which, from immediate observation, I didn't see anything on there that screamed crash site to me.
No.
So...
Just to give you an idea of scale, it's about 20 kilometres by maybe 25.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
And how far is that at? Sorry, John.
That was me. Sorry, I wasn't saying it.
Sorry, Mark. Carry on.
Oh.
Yeah.
It better be good, though, after this build-up.
No, all I was going to say is, can we identify... at the moment, we can't identify more than it's coming than the radio is coming from the atoll.
Yeah, you can't pin the radio source.
We can't say it's from the left, right, nor.
I mean, it could be 10 kilometres offshore, but it seems unlikely.
Mm-hmm. And how far away is this from other landmasses?
Quite a way, several hundred kilometres at least, and that's to another atoll.
Okay, and the. Were we right in thinking there was plant life?
Definitely.
Yes, because there was those...
Going by the infrared anyway, I mean, that's what you're getting through the cloud covers. So,
if you were a survivor that had crash-landed on somewhere like this, even if you could tell there was another atoll that far away, it probably wouldn't necessarily feel worth your while to make the effort to try and go there.
To get to another atoll.
Yeah.
Still,
whereas if there was an obviously large landmass, you might feel it was worthwhile. So it would make sense they might have, remained.
So this is predominantly a water world with atolls rather than.
There are some larger landmasses elsewhere, but not nearby.
Hmm.
And none of those is showing any sign of oddity.
And no other. Structures visible from this distance?
No, well, as I say, you're working off radar and infrared at this point.
Okay. Well, let's
probably go closer. Yeah.
Should we flip
on the old silent running switch?
Yeah. Well, sir, that involves changing a light bulb.
Is that the one where you blow up one third of the things you're supposed to be looking after?
Question for you. Did you say that it kind of looks artificial, this atoll, in the grounds that it looks like the around the edges?
I don't think I did.
No.
Well, it's that raised ridge.
It kind of goes up and then down again, but that's atoll shaped.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Like the inner bit
sorry,
is lower.
Sorry, I was thinking. I was
a
thinking
basin
that the,
in the middle.
I was thinking that kind of round the edges. It's almost like like somebody's sort of heated up and then kind of goes down lower.
The planetologists are. Well, okay. Nick, do you want to give me a roll?
I don't have planetology.
Okay.
I'm sorry to tell you.
Oh, just roll at zero. Come on, boy.
All right.
Add your edge you into it.
I've got a bollocks. So that is a 7 in total.
Okay. You don't really know a lot about this. You could maybe look at the big boys' book of planetology, which would. I mean, you've got references about what coral atolls are like. That's easy.
Does this look like a coral atoll?
I remember.
A coral atoll.
Many happy times.
It does seem to be. Basically, if that ridge was originally a lagoon, or border of a lagoon, which has since dried out, and then the water can't flow up into it, might see something like that.
So what you're saying is potentially this could be a kind of tropical island filled with kind of Valkyrie-style women who haven't experienced, Earth kissing before.
Well, okay. You know, if you
tell me if this thing you
let
call
him watch
love.
Star Trek again.
I've watched Amazon Women on the Moon recently.
No, I've watched World Without End, that classic of science fiction.
The men were all limp brainiacs and the women were all scantily clad.
I've basically spent the last 2 weeks just watching bad movie reviews on Dark Corners. I can tell you, some of them top even the ones you've mentioned.
Yeah.
I believe I may have used the phrase at the edifying sight of a grown man trying to pretend that a rubber spider is attacking him.
That was incredible.
I'm still on the werewolf review. Frankenstein, Dracula, werewolf. Enjoying it.
Good, eh? Right, so have you any thoughts about a landing site? I can actually give you the map back without having to worry about letting you see stuff.
Yeah. Does it look like, I assume from that question, it looks like there are places we could in fact land.
There are many places you could land.
Yeah.
Let me put this back in.
Can we send down a couple of proofs?
I knew probes were marching towards this conversation.
You know, I'm always a probe man. But my thought is could we work out where, could we try and land as close as possible to the signal source?
Don't think what you've got is set up for that. They might be able to rig something. Electronic sensors.
I'm more into the actual sending the probes, but I'll have a go. So that would be 8 for me for that.
Okay. Quite possibly you could get something.
I would have.
Go on. Come
That's
on, Nick.
The way my computer has abbreviated your name, Mark, with this.
Now let's have a see. What's it said for me? Penguin Dick, there we are. Yes.
Just looking at this, it seems to me like the straightforward thing would be to try and land in this sort of southwestern area of
the
flatland.
The
light green open ground is a possibility. The banks of the rivers are also possibilities, and the beach outside the boundary wall.
I will say, if there is any sort of settlement or anything, that would also be the logical place there, that open ground area.
There
could also be stuff around by the hills, couldn't there, of course?
Yeah, but you'd want the open ground. That's quite a sheltered area near the river.
Or in the mangrove swamp, if that's a source of fresh water.
Is this...
depending what sort of, you know, did they start functioning kind of equipment from the spaceship or not, you know.
We don't know what kind of weather patterns they have.
I mean, there's one of the anomalies that's right by the river, where the river kind of goes into the sea.
Well, why don't we land on the open plain, just below that bit where the river touches the open plain, south of the mangrove?
Well, we want to land where it's easy for us to take back off again anyway.
It's only 20 kilometres.
Don't we have a shuttle anyway?
Yeah, but Ed Decker is able to do vertical landing, and it's probably easier to put that down, given the...
We can land the whole...
My point is that we could land Ant Decker there...
Mm.
And then we could always shuttle around to the other places anyway, because the shuttle is going to be a lot easier to find.
Possibly you could possibly use a lander at least.
You
would probably want to drop that separately rather than try to fly it out while you're on the ground. But
yeah.
Sorry, could you clarify for me what exactly it is you're thinking of in terms of landing location?
You're basically that southwest open plain.
So you see where the three
yes.
anomalies are is a triangle.
Yeah, a rough triangle.
Oddly enough, here. Yes.
That if you like go directly north from the key swamp word, basically in the centre of those three, where the ones immediately north of that former
triangle.
Have
you got a mass pointer visible?
I do to me, yes.
I think I need to do it over here.
Hang on, I could take a photo of my mouse.
No, hang on, I can drop it.
I can see your mouse pointer, Roger.
Oh,
yeah. Roughly there.
Like in that area, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we will engage the cloaking device.
We can't see you anymore.
And again, Doctor.
He just puts a dressing gown over his head.
We're running out of black paint.
We are not in the Star Trek universe. This is a...
may not be in the Star Trek universe. I can assure you that the rest of us...
if you just put on these newly designed red shirts I've had for the away team.
You've got the... you can make the landing. All right. I do love it when they use numbered keys.
And were we, as we were flying over, able to work out where the beacon was broadcasting from?
North of where you are, more or less.
So sort of swampy way.
Yeah, in that more central raised ground area.
Yeah. Because that would seem to be the logical... I mean, so where we've parked would seem to be the logical place for us to go in that...
Yeah, so it might be that star directly north of where you've landed, for example.
Hmm.
But on that note, I think that's a good time to leave it for the week. I will get a map that you can look at in a separate window for next time.
Thank you. Exciting rescue mission.
Possibly it could be a trap.
Let's hope so.
Colonists, we need a rescue from their virginity. Sorry.
Oh, you're the Radish. Creepy kind of doctor. Okay.
Radish, you really, really, really need to have the inner thoughts staying
I'm sorry. It's my telepathy theory I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
God. No, this is called speech. Telepathy is a different thing again.
But you're transmitting ideas from place to place.
Across the medium.
It's true. Yeah.
Straight to your brain.
Right, I'll see most of you on Tuesday. Well, I'll talk to all of you tomorrow, probably, anyway. So.
See you around, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. See you around.
Bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Roger.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.